Hey, helicopter podcast listeners, this is John Gray from the Hangar Z Podcast. I want to let you all know Vertical Fowler's Spring 2024 issue is now available. In our Spring 2024 issue, we head over to Leon County for a look at how law enforcement agencies in Northern Florida are combining forces to enhance crime fighting. We also visit Metro Aviation in Shreveport, Louisiana to learn about the work behind installing a Metro interior in an Airbus helicopter. We connect with the experts in the search and rescue sector for an update on the latest trends, training, and tools used in helicopter rescue missions. And finally, we catch up with the Los Angeles Police Department's Aviation Unit for a look at its training programs. All this, plus highlights of some new products and services that made their debuts at Heli Expo 2024. To check out the latest issue of Vertical Valor, go to verticalvalor.com and scroll to the bottom of the page to find magazines. Enjoy. Hey, welcome to the Vertical Helicast mashup, announcing our new podcast and podcaster for the Vertical Emerald Podcast, Val Medved. How you doing, sir?
Let's go. I'm good. I'm good, guys. How are you guys?
Heck yeah. Awesome.
Let's go.
John, aren't you supposed to mess up people's last name? Isn't that like your thing when you're introducing them?
Only if
please do
only
so.
If,
yeah,
only if it's Halsey. I only did it Halsey because I don't like you very much.
Oh, thanks, guy.
Damn.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Going through school, you won't believe how many teachers messed up Medved. It was Medude, Medwid, Medjard. I'm like, what?
Well, it's one of those names that it looks fairly simple, but it can't be that simple. So I think people overcomplicate it and make it something it's not.
So it's society's fault.
Yep, exactly.
Got it.
Well, this is a conversation we've been intending to have since HEI. We had it on the books and just didn't work out. So excited to have you on the podcast and excited to announce the Vertical MRO Podcast. It's really exciting, you know, to launch something new like this and to add something to the industry that hasn't been done, as far as I know, on the helicopter side. Really excited to dig into your background and kind of what your vision is for the MRO Podcast. And to do that with us, of course, we got Jason Quinn from the Real Rescue Podcast. What's up, Quinny?
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning or good afternoon. Good afternoon.
It's midnight local time for Quinny
in
his side of the world. And he's been awake for 16 minutes now to record
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that is correct. Correct. Yeah. It's kind of rolled
six
over.
Six Red Bulls down.
Yeah, what is that going off? Shut it off. Shut it off. Oh, wait. I actually have to be awake right now.
And then we've also got Halsey Schneider, not Halsey Snyder, from the Helicopter Podcast. How you doing, Halsey?
I'm doing good. Thanks. Yeah. It's not quite midnight here. It's only 2 in the afternoon. So, Jason, thanks for, I think that just shows the dedication of this team, right? We are willing to do whatever it takes. So it's nice to see everyone. And at first I was a little worried because, Quinny, you were seeming a little tired, but now it seems like we're getting back to your normal flow. Yeah. So,
well, Halsey, you brought the fact that it's 2 o'clock here on the West Coast. And for Val, your time local, it's 5 p.m. So it calls
four.
Oh, it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. We're close. But it still does call for a beverage. What kind of beverage do you have to kick this thing off?
I'm rocking a gift of mine that a buddy introduced me to, a little Jefferson's Ocean Blend Bourbon.
Oh, right.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Kicking I just had solid. That for the first time a couple weeks ago. Quite nice.
Someone likes you.
Actually.
Someone likes you.
Yeah.
Someone likes you. That's a good drink.
It was recommended. I bought it, but it was recommended. I was like, oh, yeah, get that one. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, oh, God, this is expensive. But it was like, oh, it's good. Worth it.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, for myself, it's not 5 o'clock, so I've got water. In the spirit of Jeff Rakovich and the water quality tester here. That's what I'm rolling with. Halsey, what about you?
I'm maybe the only podcaster on the wagon for many years now, so I'm enjoying a polar seltzer. These are very good, by the way.
All right.
Nice hint, nice essence of flavor. Yeah, but I wish it was bourbon. That sounds kind of nice.
Commonly referred to as TV static. I like it.
There you go.
Quinny, What are you rolling with? I'm midnight. Following
Right. Well, I can't really wake up and start with a Red Bull quite now. I do need to go back to sleep eventually. So right now it's just a little sparkling water. I followed Halsey a little bit, but it's just plain. It's just like nice and simple. That's it.
Right. What does this paint me in a particular corner as the only one boozing on this one?
Yeah, you thought this was a mashup. It's actually an intervention.
It's an intervention. Yeah. Oh,
now we love you very much.
Yeah.
I thought it was standard maintenance, though. Yeah, maintenance is done. Let's get a drink. Let's go. Yeah.
That's what it is. Token Canadian with the booze in hand, right here.
the maintenance side of the world is always having to overcome the headaches that we give them on the pilot side of the world. So I would imagine it's very common for you.
It's called job security.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what pilots are for mechanics.
Well, again, going back to what we're doing here with Vertical Lumber Podcast, it's really exciting. You know, I've always talked about, from the public safety side of things, the missions that we do require a ton of folks to make those missions possible. And the biggest segment of folks that make that possible are the maintenance professionals that are wrenching on our helicopters all the time. You know, our goal is to highlight the really cool stuff is going on in the MRO world, from the mechanic in the bush to the folks that are in the beautiful hangar with air conditioning that are wrenching on helicopters in a nice, safe and climate controlled environment. Now, Val's been in the industry for a long time. You've seen a little bit of everything when it comes to the maintenance side of the world. Again, excited to have you as a host and to see where you take the MRO podcast.
Thanks, buddy. It's good to be here. It's good to be here with you guys. I'm banking shots off of your professional setups right now, all three of you here. So I appreciate you guys kind of bringing me into this.
Yeah. Well, Val, if you could just kind of tell us, you know, where you grew up and how you got into this profession to begin with.
26 years ago, I was in a different profession, grinding out some serious hours with a job that was kind of taking me nowhere. And then I was told that there was a customer service rep position open at a local facility here in Winnipeg, just outside of Winnipeg. It kind of detailed that the company was pretty hyper-focused, not necessarily on technical data as per se, like, you know, the measurements of a GP or PT support, but there's more, they want to come someone focused to the customer side and advocating more for the customer side. So I interviewed and got the job. And to my surprise, here I am 26 years later, still kind of learning things as I go along. And it all stemmed from just self, kind of always wanted to teach myself a little more about the MRO side with engines, and then eventually into transmissions and into so on and so forth. So listen, there's a million moving pieces in a helicopter. We don't know all of them, right? So
I hope we know most of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a Jesus nut in my office. But people ask, what is that? I'm like, that's a Jesus nut. And then I give them the reason why it's called the Jesus nut. And they're like, oh, shit.
One of my salesmen at Helicopter has an LLC. We pay him through his LLC. His LLC is Jesus Nut LLC. Oh. And I remember when I had to go back to the bank in the early days when we weren't direct depositing, and I would, you know, remit the payment to Jesus Nut LLC. And I'd always wait to see the teller's reaction on that, and then would explain to them. So I think that's kind of funny. Real quick question.
Sure.
A lot of my listeners are either on the pilot side or actually even just getting into aviation. And so can you just define MRO and just talk a little bit about what that actually means in the helicopter and aviation industry?
The whole section, and it's kind of like, it's, you know, when John and I got talking about this with maintenance, repair, and overhaul, it really is divided by how many sectors there are in the helicopter. I just came from a background of mostly engine stuff, where the, you know, particular subcomponents of a Rolls 250 engine would get broken down, and whether it was deemed to be, you know, repaired, inspected, or overhauled, kind of is the benchmark, if you will, of where I learned the maintenance repair side. The overhaul side of it, there is, you know, when you set the TSO to zero there, it sets a lot of people's minds right there when you're dealing with, you know, TSO zero versus TSO 499, you're due up in 500. Kind of my experience with everything with MRO is basically the timing of it all. Where does it line up in the grand scheme of things in your heavy maintenance of fall planning or going in from summer forest fire season into winter heli skiing? So having that knowledge a little bit and working with the people that I work with on my side, in my professional job, I have to work closely with a lot of directors of maintenances and stuff like that, where they have a timing of it all, and that's kind of where I fall into.
Any follow-up, Sir Halsey?
No, I just want to break it down a little bit again. Audience is more on the pilot side. So even for me as a pilot, being flying for 15 years, I had to ask someone what MRO meant like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I've heard it a million times, and it's kind of embarrassing to say, like, I didn't actually know what it stood for. And so, just that breakdown. And, you know, I guess I look at MRO as kind of an encompassing of all maintenance, you know, whether it's repairing, whether it's overhauling, you know, an MRO is a place where helicopters go or components of helicopters go to get either replaced, overhauled, inspect it, whatever it may be. So it's just kind of the encompassing fact of helicopter maintenance. And obviously that's just the huge part of our industry. And I feel like it's part of the industry, specifically on the podcast side, where not a lot of people are doing anything, if anything, on the podcast side. In fact, I don't know about Jason and John, but I get messages on a fairly routine basis asking if I plan on having any maintainers on. And I think I've had one or two maintenance professionals on, but I think the cool part about this is just like aviation or helicopter specific aviation, we have a bit of our own language. I think in the MRO side, you guys have a bit of that language as well. And so having someone with the background be able to talk to other professionals within that space, I think it's going to be a really neat conversation and a cool podcast that's really different than actually what we're producing on my podcast and at The Real Rescue and Hangar Z. So I think for the Helicast platform to be fully well-rounded, this just fits in so nicely as a puzzle. So we're excited to have you, excited for you to get on this journey. For me, the coolest part about Helicast has been being able to collaborate directly with John and Jason. Jason and John have kind of paved the way really for podcasting within this space, and being able to work with them, collaborate with them, pick their brain to help build my podcast and then the collective whole has been really cool.
Leave some behind for me.
It's fun. it's fun not to be the new guy anymore, because up until now, my podcast has the least amount of episodes. So nice. I'm nice. No longer the young gun.
You're the first rung on the ladder.
Yeah. Now you're the bottom of the barrel, pal.
Yeah.
But thanks for sharing that. Said, yeah. I think...
Hey, Halsey, I've been called worse, brother, so feel free. Knock it out.
But I think it's really neat. And I think the cool part is I think there'll be some really cool collaborations
yes.
that we can do in our individual podcast directly with the MRO podcast to be able to really highlight the entire circle of this industry.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to have you, and I'm a little bit jealous of your cool MRO background and your cool logo.
Well, the purpose, and I know, like, thanks a lot for saying that, Halsey. I appreciate that. I know John has been, like, when you talk about picking his brain, I do that a lot with him, and I'm trying to kind of learn as much as I possibly can with him. And the guests that we'll be having on the show do exactly that, whether it's going to be avionics, whether it's going to be transmissions, whether it's going to be rotor blades, whether it's going to be engines, it's sheet metal, you name it. We're going to try to cover these folks because there's some great, great, great individuals that we can kind of talk to and they can talk about. And in fact, you know, a lot of these places, a lot of the guests that I've we've kind of contacted already, they have a one-stop shop where you park the helicopter in, and all of a sudden, you know, your engine needs to get done and your blades are going to be timed out pretty soon. Your drive shaft is looking, you know, a little wonky, or all of a sudden your transmission needs to be updated. There's some service bulletins need to be talked about. So they really do fall into that maintenance, repair, and overhaul diagnostics right across the board there. So it's, yeah, I'm really excited to get these guys talking on this platform, because there's some awesome characters, like, so good.
Well, it's cool from a pilot standpoint. I feel like I get to be a fly on a wall and kind of peek into your guys' world and get an understanding to a level that I haven't had before. You know, I'm not the most mechanical person in the world. I can make sense of a lot of what you guys are doing, but to hear you guys talk about it in depth and the way that I envision these conversations going is going to be really interesting. So I look forward to that. And again, being in the helicopter industry, so much of what we do is centered around maintenance. It's such a maintenance heavy piece of technology.
you know.
That's a big statement for a pilot to say, by the way.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, John. Thanks for that. I'll slip you a 20 next time I see you, brother.
That's funny.
But it's, I mean, it's true. We couldn't do what we do without the services that are being provided by the maintenance professionals. And that's, that term by itself is interesting because there's, they're called different things in different places for different reasons, you know, and some people like to be called mechanics. Some people don't. Some people like to be called technicians, engineers. There's a whole host of terms that people use. So maybe you can help clarify for us what we should be using universally.
I don't know, depending on where you're sitting. I think Quinny's in a different neck of the world where they call them something entirely different else. Where I'm located, they're AMEs, or I think the general, I think you can paint the brush here generally across everybody. They're just, they're going to be called either technicians or engineers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know we're going to be talking to some AMPs down the line, and we're going to talk in some, you know, and the thing is there's like even directors of maintenances aren't DOMs anymore. There's PRMs or accountable executives, depending on what country you're in, right? Like it's, we got to keep it broad. We got to keep it open.
For you, Quinny, in your neck of the woods, is there a different term for them that we're not familiar with?
Nah, it's usually just maintenance, you know. Hey, go call maintenance. Have them come over and do it.
Pilot broke something again, or Quinny broke something.
Yeah. Whoa. I can fix that too. So, matter of fact, I'm gonna talk about this for a minute. Can I talk about what I've been through? Can I bring this up? Is that okay?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, because nobody knows. Like, we got to bring everybody on in the commitment that what you're doing right now in this mashup is impressive. So good on you.
That's all right. I like it. So. What's interesting is in my world growing up in aviation, and this is starting back when I joined the Coast Guard and made it through swimmer school. Well, we're maintenance first, like rescue swimming and all the rescues and all that stuff is awesome. And I love talking about it, but I was one of the guys on the hangar deck, and our job as a rescue swimmer was to inspect and change float bags. We had to do other like maintenance on the aircraft, plus all the search and rescue stuff. And all the vests and equipment, passenger stuff. And that was part of our job. So I remember being on the helicopter, like inspecting tip caps and be like, oh, there's something wrong here. And all of a sudden I've got check stands out. I'm pulling screws out and like, hey, I need this, need that. And we're changing rotor blades to an H65. Like I've been there. I know that. I know the hoist very well because even after I get out of the Coast Guard, getting on the hoist and inspecting it, running the cables, all the components on the inside. I mean, I remember sitting with the mechanics specifically and be like, oh, well, let's do this, this, and this. And they looked at me kind of funny. They're like, how do you know that? And I'm like, well, I know a little of a little, so I'm good. But one of the things that I'm really excited to like hear about throughout your podcast and some of your guests is stuff behind the scenes that a lot of times you don't hear about. Again, my world, rescue. Let's talk. I'm going to talk two things that stand out right off the top of my head: Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Harvey. And the reason I'm going to talk about those is because a lot of the maintenance guys that come on, they were flight mechanics for the Coast Guard. And there was like two roles in that during that time. You were either a fixer or a flyer. And a lot of times they would flop back and forth. But if you were a fixer, that means you had aircrafts coming in and you had 15 aircrafts that you needed to do a pre-flight on, a post-flight on, a through flight, there's something sort of right up because you got people that are in distress and you need that aircraft up right now. So
yep.
You had all these guys just like a lot of people on an aircraft.
Chaotic frenzy. Controlled, yes. Controlled chaotic. Yes.
Totally. Pulling an aircraft apart, putting it back together because you got to get it back on the line because people are in need. And it's like, it doesn't happen without mechanics. It doesn't happen without that support making that happen. And I know a little bit of that world, so I'm in. I like it.
You can say the microcosm of that too is the like if you look at the air medevac corporate side of the industry, like their helicopters have to be on the ready, they have to be on steady. Like if it isn't up, they're going to Frankenstein something else to kind of throw something ready, so it has to get up right. So that still takes technicians and mechanics to throw something together to make sure that aircraft tail number and whatever is ready to go. So, and especially in our fast paced world, you know, like, listen, we got some bigger, faster machines out there right now on the road. And should there be like a matter, you know, massive catastrophe there or a fire that's happening or something like that, those boys got to get up fast.
And then all of a sudden you're like cannibalizing one aircraft to fix another.
Yeah.
And there are some people out there like, What is cannibalization? What is it? What does that even mean? It means you're taking X off broken helicopter over there to make broken helicopter over there up.
Frankensteining is what I throw it together at. Frankenstein the aircraft. Yep.
It's interesting, even when you consider the planning that takes place on the mechanic side for the aircraft that are under their control. So you're trying to manage your 100-hour inspections, their 600-hour inspections, and trying to keep, you know, in my case, we had three helicopters, and we wanted one in service and one in reserve, if possible, and one in maintenance. So they're, you know, literally with pencils and erasers doing the math, trying to figure out how to keep these things in service for the most time possible.
It is, I think is about the only industry I think that's beneficial from having ADHD. it's a superpower, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, people that think that, you know, having, you know, ADHD or OCD, that it's a superpower in our industry. Absolutely, it is.
Yeah,
I think it's also kind of cool. Even when I started flying, there always seemed to kind of be a little bit of a competition of maintenance versus pilots. Kind of like this, like
God complex.
It's almost like the air medical world for a long time too. Is like, you know, I think in the 90s it was like the crew was self-loading baggage, right? And that's really changed a lot, and it's actually enhanced the safety big time in air medical, of looking at the crew as people that are just there, to actually making them crew and having them help and be part of the safety of flight. I think it's similar to the maintenance side of, I think, with my career path, and not just flying, but now selling aircraft, I work almost exclusively with engineers, mechanics, AMPs, IAs, whatever you want to call them, DARs, DERs, everyone. And I think what I found is, like, it's really been nice for me to educate myself on that side of the business because it's important for what I do. But I think it's also helped me kind of gain a way of how I can communicate as well better to engineers. I think sometimes there's like a fear of maybe a younger pilot not knowing how to articulate themselves to a mechanic or whatnot. So I think by pilots listening to your podcast, for them to be able to get a glimpse on your perspective, your side, I think will actually make them better, well-rounded pilots, because it's almost like when you're driving an F1 car, which I know nothing about, but I know that the driver has to be able to tell that crew what they're feeling. How do they articulate that? How can they make the car better? It's the same with helicopters.
Yeah.
There's many times where I would go to a mechanic, and in my early years, I would not necessarily know how to articulate myself and what's going wrong with the helicopter. And I would get looked at kind of like, oh my God, this guy's an idiot, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But then over time, and especially now that I'm literally all I do is look at maintenance tracking reports and work with maintenance professionals to get deals done, I understand it better. And so I feel like when I'm able to talk to mechanics about something that I'm experiencing in a helicopter, I'm much better able to communicate what's happening and work with you to help have a positive outcome.
You're speaking Greek to Greeks.
You know, I think to our listeners, if you're not in the maintenance side, that's more of a reason why you should actually listen to the MRO podcast, because you're probably going to start picking up on things and perspectives that are going to make you a more well-rounded aviator. And I think if you can start to understand the maintenance side, the maintenance planning, maintenance tracking, maintenance coordinating, all that, that's just going to help you become a better pilot, someone that's more vital to the operation, and being able to communicate effectively with your mechanic or your engineer that's on staff. So I think that that's also a neat part of this podcast is, it's going to allow pilots to maybe get a little bit of a better grasp on what's actually happening on that side of the house.
100%. 100%. And the other, you know, the byproduct of everything you just said there too, is that if we come across a situation where I'm not familiar of the particular, you know, MRO side of it, and if it's something that just I'm not aware of it, that guest on that show that day will educate not only myself, but my listeners as well. So kind of having that, and might be intriguing for someone that's kind of maybe flipping on our, you know, MRO, vertical MRO podcast, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, I'm contemplating, you know, something in avionics, and it has to do with everything, you know, for wiring and schematics and stuff like that. And we have I'm by stretch no expert in any of that stuff. That stuff is spaghetti junction to me, but having somebody talk about it into the point where it's layman's understood, and you're able to kind of talk about it confidently and have going, oh, okay, that makes sense now. So that's the byproduct of everything you just said there. So thanks for saying that, buddy. I really do mean that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really fun. And I would like to maybe come on sometime and share some experiences that I've had recently, specifically in bringing aircraft to the United States from other countries and trying to understand and navigate this process of of STCs. You know, the FAA apparently is like the only country, the only governing agency in which makes it very difficult to accept or familiarize other STCs, even from, say, EASA. And so I think it would also be fun to be able to talk about those types of scenarios where, you know, you're bringing an aircraft over and, oh, wow, there's a dual Garmin setup in there and it's a EASA approved, a EASA STC. Oh, wait, the FAA doesn't take it. Transport Canada will take it all day. And, you know, being able to talk about things like that, that are kind of nuanced, but I think a lot of people run into, and being able to share the experience of how you can, because I think part of maintenance is kind of problem solving all the time. Like trying to say, okay, here's the problem and how do we execute and get past that problem?
Right.
And so I'm definitely really excited to maybe chat with you about that, but also listen to your guests. And I'm guessing in my business, especially, I'll be able to learn a lot from your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for saying that, buddy. It's like you said, like it's, you talk to these, a lot of these, you know, AMEs and directors, and the, like you watch them, it's a reverse domino effect. It's almost like investigative work of this happened because this didn't align and this didn't align and this didn't align and tick, 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 tick. And they kind of just followed it all down the line. Right. So it's, that's going to be some of the people that we talk to. And there's just, you're right. These guys are almost like Magnum PIs kind of going about it with the dirty mustache and trying to figure out the whole way, right? So,
yeah, the breadth of knowledge that the mechanics have is so impressive to me. And in the law enforcement world, not only do you have all the mission equipment that is on the helicopter, the radios, the camera systems, the spotlight, in Quinny's world, the winches that you have to be familiar with to be mission effective, but you also have the regular mechanical systems to be knowledgeable about. And then, oh, by the way, you also have to know about avionics and how to problem solve that. There's just so much knowledge that a lot of these mechanics have. It's really, really impressive. So I'm excited to dig into that and just, you know, figure out how do you even get to that level. And obviously it's time and service, you know, but really interested in that. It's going to be great.
The experience factor is what we're going to be kind of banking on as well too. You know, we're going to try to have some guests on there that are, you know, turning wrench that as long as I've been alive. Right. So it's you're going to come across these old, you know, old bush pilots that are mechanics and they can kind of tell you by the whistle of a turbine, oh, the FCU is off or something. Like, it's like, what? How can you do that over a cell phone? What? So,
yeah, it's wild. I remember being a brand new pilot. We had an A-STAR, now H-125, although it wouldn't be H-125 because it was a B-2. So I had the modulated start, and that was a scary start. I don't know if you started a B-2, Halsey, but the modulated start, you don't want to over-tempt the engine. So I remember the first start that I did, it sounded funny, apparently, because the mechanic comes running out and staring in the... in the window as I'm starting it. And he's like, it just sounded weird. So just based on what you're saying, it's true. You get so much experience understanding the equipment and the machinery to where just the sound of it can cue you into something being wrong. You know,
a lot of these guys, I'm going to give a shout out to Mike Guttner Sr. He's the godfather of the Rolls-Royce 250 engine. This guy is, he's a good friend of mine. I've known him for as long as I've been in the industry, and I worked for a short time. We had a customer up in Fort St. John, Canada, and he calls up on I think it was a Thursday afternoon. And he's just like, hey man, we're making really low power on this, that, and another thing here. And he goes, well, what's wrong with you? He goes, everything kind of checks out. And he's talking to me about it. I'm like, I'm here with Mike Senior. And Mike goes, give me the phone. And he takes the phone out of my ear. This is a cell phone, right? All of a sudden he goes, hold the phone up to the turbine. I was like, I'm looking at him. I'm like, is this guy for real? All of a sudden, sure enough, he goes, yeah, Jeff, adjust your fuel into the FCU. That's, I'm just like, how the hell can you listen for that over a cell phone? And he nailed it. He made the adjustment, and next thing you know, it was burning right. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So
that's the kind of stuff is amazing. You know, that knowledge set.
Yeah.
Before we kind of continue talking about maintenance and what we're hoping to do with the MRO podcast, I'd like to focus again on you. You talked about how you got your start in the industry. Let's go back prior to that, because I think this is what I'm referring to is happening before your time, maybe in high school or college, when you actually were a DJ on a... yeah, let's hear about that.
Oh, do you want to? Do we have enough time? Is it legal? Is it a... Yeah, I spent a lot of time on the microphone here. It's I'm not shy in front of people. I'm not shy in front of the microphone. That was a passion that I had going out throughout high school there where I took over. I basically started the high school radio station. So picture, if you will, a 15-year-old kid with the acid wash jeans and a baggy sweater and stuff like that. And I'm playing hip hop.
You had a mullet, didn't you?
No mullet, bro. No mullet.
Come on.
No, I didn't. I got a fat head, man. I don't rock a mullet.
I did too.
Yeah. No, I got like a 7 5/8 noodle, man. It's a fat head. And if I were to have a mullet, it'd be like one of those troll dolls that you put in the pencil and you just kind of squirrel it. Couldn't grow it.
I think every little boy has either had a bowl cut or a mullet. I look back.
Bowl cut I've had.
I had both. I had like the quintessential. Yes, I had hair. a lot of it back then. Right. I had a good mullet for a time, a good bowl cut. Now
I see, well, Quinny, you got a short stack already here. I can see you kind of having you rocked a ponytail. I can tell you that, right?
I totally did. Yeah. It was like a ponytail and it was a rat tail.
No,
I never had a full rat tail, but it was like, mullet. And then, but I could put it back in a ponytail cause it was long.
John was a Vanilla Ice guy. I'm going to say John was a Vanilla Ice guy. He had the old flop to the side.
Yep. Yep. Zach Morris style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had that and the MC Hammer pants. In fact,
in his 5-liter.
One of the first pictures I have of myself next to a helicopter was next to Anaheim PD's helicopter. And I'm wearing these MC Hammer baggy balloon pants. It's such an embarrassing photo. I don't want to share it. But
yeah, you are. No, that's the, we're going to go hunt that for that next time wherever out there.
We're going to share it on all platforms.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
And we will do a cover story at MHM with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyhow, back to Val.
Back to me. So yeah, So DJing to me was never really an issue. I got into it, loved it. I still listen to a whole, like I got a wide range of music from just, I have a different ear for everything, right? So that I appreciate the, it's like, man, you want to get work out in the morning, you throw a little Metallica on there, right? So all of a sudden, you know, if you're feeling like I said, just before we kicked onto this, you guys heard my Warren G and Nate Dogg there with Regulate, right? Like it's just, I'm all over the spectrum, right?
Right.
I have zero issues in front of being a mic. I'm probably going to be told to shut up every now and then. So just because I gab quite a bit.
On top of being a DJ and on top of what you're doing now, you're also giving back to the community in a big way. Can you talk about your involvement in the community and what you're doing for the football program?
Yeah. There's a couple of things that I'm a part of here. I'm still a high school football coach out here in Oak Bank, Manitoba for our school called Springfield Collegiate. And I've been coaching there from the first year that they put the team together was 2019. But prior to that, we kind of had a community football-based football team. It's all volunteered. So it's football to me is a very near and dear sport. I know we live in Canada and hockey should be the sport, but we're a football household here. So we proudly brag about that. So I'm involved in that. And that's between, you know, off season there, I was kind of helping with a couple of high school kids there with the local Winnipeg Blue Bombers W camp. They're just kind of coaching along and make sure they get, you know, the pillars of their trade kind of in the right place and just kind of walking it over with them. And you know what, at the end of it, if you give that kid an ounce of confidence, he'll give you 10 pounds of effort, especially at that age between 14 and 16 years old. You know, like who are we when we were 14 and 16 years old, right? So it's, you give them that ounce of confidence there and they'll just run through walls for you. And it's just I said, just give me the effort. That's all I need.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think for me, when I think of those programs, the lessons learned, the leadership styles that you observe and you
that's
pick
right.
up yourself as a kid, that's something you take with you for the rest of your life.
As a teammate, as are you coachable, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that, and that's the, and in the summertime when we're, you know, 85, 90 degrees out there, we're cooking out there. And this is a team that always, we'll hear something taking off in the background. Hey, Coach Bell, what kind of aircraft is that? I'm like,
Well, that's cool that you're giving back on top of what you're already doing. That's a huge deal.
Canadians in football, that's,
Yeah, I know. It's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah, that's awesome. I actually coached 7th and 8th grade football for 7 years.
Oh, cool.
And I love football as well. And I think it's great for, like you said, development.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty cool. There's actually a kid that I coach is now plays in the NFL.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Wow. I told him in 8th grade, nice job, actually, Halsey. That I would see him on. I It's all my doing. Henry Mondu.
There you go.
Thank me. But I do remember telling him as an eighth grader, he's giant and he's so talented. And I said, man, if you keep your head on straight, you keep doing your thing, I'll watch you on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's one of two kids that I had the privilege of coaching that, worked their butts off and ended up in the NFL. One was a quarterback and Henry's on the D line, but it's so cool. And I love football. It's neat to hear that.
I was blessed enough to kind of coach my youngest son. And I watched him play throughout high school. And now I'm even more blessed. I'm doubly blessed because now I'm coaching my nephew who's we're kind of building here. He's for all you NFL scouts out there who are listening to this podcast series. He's 14 years old, 6'2", 205, and he's a D end. He's a horse.
Oh my gosh.
That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, we're very much a football family here. And what I've tried to kind of always, the positivity, I don't know if you guys can tell, I'm not a negative guy. So the positivity that we coach along the way is I take a lot of quotes and I'll sometimes hand them a little quote for them to kind of stick in their lockers to kind of reinforce the positivity of everything, just in life in general. Because, as a coach, you're kind of coaching them on the field, but your coaching ends at the sidelines for what they bring on the field and what they bring off the field after you're done coaching with them. They'll remember for the rest of their life. So, Walter Payton has a great, great quote. And I was able to kind of throw it to a lot of these kids where when you're good, you go looking to be told that you're good, but when you're great, they'll tell you, right? So, and that's a lot of these kids are aspiring to do, whether it's in football, whether it's they go out and do whether they go to college or even if they go right into the trades, because where I live predominantly, it's a trade centric community. So a lot of these kids go off and they go right into the workforce right away. But I said, just if you work as hard with your job as you did on the field for any of us coaches there, you'll be fine.
Yeah. I kind of envision you being the MRO host, kind of coaching the industry in a way, like a lot of these young folks who aren't even in the industry yet are going to listen to you and be inspired by not only yourself, but the guests that you have on the show. And some of the tidbits that you leave with the kids in the field will be picked up by these listeners as well. And I think that leadership development's important, whether you're in the industry, now or you're going to be. So there's so many different ways that you're going to, I think you're going to add positivity and value to the industry. You look at some of the issues that are facing the MRO industry now. I know recruitment is probably at the top of the list, but when you think about that, what are some of the challenges that are facing the industry? And, what do you think that you can do as the host of the MRO podcast to kind of address some of that?
I'll go in reverse on that one. So the biggest thing I want to do at the end of if someone were to take something away from me at the end of a show or end of a podcast or end of a season or whatever we're doing, it's to have them educated and entertained and kind of have them reinforced with, this is actually a good career call, right? So if we can kind of talk to that and have them inspired to kind of go out and, go into an AME, AMP or technician or whatever, they go into that particular career and all of a sudden now they're inspired to kind of I can take that and make that better. That's my ultimate goal, is to kind of have that happen to a young listener, or actually, even to an older listener too, who never actually ever thought outside the box, where if we have a younger podcast host and they're talking about how they kind of went and did this with another way of thinking. And that older guy's like, shit, I never thought about that, but I've been looking at these machines for 50 years here. It probably made sense, or if he did it, he might've forgot it. Right.
Right. So,
kind of having that and reinforcing that positivity, because there's enough shit we can turn on the news right now and it can kind of bring you down real fast, right? And if we can kind of have everybody laughing along the way, because we're gonna have some interesting characters on the show, as I'm seeing you guys here, you guys are my interesting pods here, right? So I'm loving the fact that I'm able to kind of hang with you dogs in the long run. But having that exposed to somebody that's kind of like on the fence about it, or they just got into it and then it's like, okay, this is a reinforcement, this was a good call, or it's that little extra push of, yeah, okay, this is a great career about to happen.
And we look at what the podcasts that we've all been a part of have been able to do to the industry. It's really interesting. Quinny, for you, when you look back on the time that you've spent running the podcast and you think over the stories, because there's all these stories that come back to you of ways that it's impacted people's lives, their careers, the things they do during a mission, what's something that's memorable to you that sticks out?
Outside of all the regular crazy stories that people have to go through. Actually, I was humbled not too long ago. As a matter of fact, Heli Expo, the Goodrich User Conference, there was a comment made this past year And I was like, wow, that's cool. And it, the greatest part about it, it wasn't even about me. So it just made it so much better. And that was a guy was, or two guys were up giving a presentation on their unit, what they were doing. And towards the end of the presentation, they said, and, you know, after listening to Jason's podcast, we now do this. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome. And what they had done, they had taken a training tip that Riverside County Sheriff Department was using, and they now implement the same type of training in their unit. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. That's the reason we do this, because this agency, this crew, this guy, this whatever had never even thought about this. And then that happened. The next one is I started another one too. I literally got a message within the past week that was the newest graduate class of United States Coast Guard Rescue Swimmer School. And Sam Crow came on or sent me a message to be like, bro, I used to kick your podcast on just to get inspired to go to school. And I'm like, that's cool. And it's not me. It's awesome. They listen to the podcast, but it's the guests that come on and what they share that inspires the next generation and other people.
Could I share something? I was a part of the fanboy experience there when I saw my buddy Sean come up to Quinion's. It's like, he wanted, oh, can you introduce me to this guy, Quinion? I was like, I don't even know what he looks like here. This is the first time I'm meeting him. But then you got a chance to meet my buddy Sean, who is future son-in-law, is about to go in your old profession there, that he's going in to become a diver. So he was asking, he was picking your brain. I was like, I was watching a fanboy moment. I was like, yeah, good job.
What you said, Quinny, is 100% true. We're just kind of facilitating the conversation. And the folks that we bring on are sharing this knowledge across literally the world. So you've got, you know, a lot of cases, what used to happen was you'd have somebody that worked for PDX, and when they retired, all the institutional knowledge that they had gained over the course of their career kind of disappears. But I think now with the podcast, what we're doing is memorializing these lessons that have been learned, kind of like what you talked about, Jason, with Riverside County, and other people are benefiting from that. So with you, Val, I see that same thing happening and just being able to impact the MRO industry in a way that I don't think has been done before. So that's exciting.
I talk about it on my podcast quite a bit, but it's this idea of like accessibility. And I think with the podcast specifically, we're providing access to the people and the stories that help other people actually realize that maybe this is obtainable for them. There's probably so many young men and women that look at the Real Rescue or maybe before even looking at the Real Rescue have this thought of being a rescue swimmer, but how do you even become a rescue swimmer? What does that process look like? What does it feel like? And to be able to listen to Jason and listen to Jason's guests, or people like myself, first generation pilots, don't have anyone in my family that's ever flown. I feel like having this resource back in the day would have been so instrumental. And that's a lot of the feedback that I get is young men and women are making decisions based on listening to our podcasts, deciding that, hey, because I listened to the helicopter podcast, I actually do see a career in being a helicopter pilot. And not only do I see a career, but I actually now can see a path on how to go from A to B. And so I feel like we're doing an incredible service to the industry. I know that, Jason, you say it's the guests, and I agree, it's so much of the guests, but we are also all collectively creating this platform. And I think that's the really cool part about that is we are the vessel that allows that to happen. And, you know, I'm extremely proud. I had no idea the impact that my podcast, I figured my mom would listen and, you know, like my stuff every once in a while.
That's my son Halsey right there.
I didn't think I would open up Instagram every morning and have comments and feedback and direct messages on young people going now to this career path, or even older people, like Val said, that never thought that they could do this or they didn't have a clear path. And now after listening to my story and my guest story, now they've made a decision that they're actually going to leave their current career and finally go and do what they've always wanted to do. So I think that that's one of the really cool things about podcasting in general, and not just with aviation space, but it's really given a voice to so many people. In the past, the voice that we got to hear were like the famous people, the celebrities, whatever it may be. And now it's anyone and everyone actually can get a microphone and pay $29 a month or whatever Riverside costs and produce a fairly decent podcast and provide that information. The one thing that you'll see, Val, is it takes a lot of time and energy to produce. But I think what you'll also see is like the energy that your audience gives back to you on what you're doing, and just like what Quinny was saying on people coming up to him and recognizing that, or even changing their SOPs based on listening to the podcast. That's the stuff that makes it worth it. Like, what are we doing here if we don't think we're making that type of impact? And so I think that's such a neat result. And I know that from the maintenance side, everyone I talk to is dealing with the same problem right now with recruitment.
Yep. Yep.
It's so hard to find qualified, you know, people that want to come in and work on aircraft, specifically helicopters. And so I really hope that your podcast can help maybe start reigniting this excitement for the MRO industry and getting young people and older people involved, because without maintainers, we're not having operations. Aircraft will be AOG, not because of parts, but because there's no one to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a big problem, and that's a big concern. So I'm really hoping that your podcast, like my podcast and John and Jason's, will give accessibility to this career path.
It's, you know, and I think this is spoken in a couple of breaths before. Anybody that's involved in aerospace, helicopter aviation, there's a passion for it, right? And when you have that passion and that drive to be some of the best that you can be at that, at your job, you're creating the brotherhood and the sisterhood of the family of our industry. Because everybody thinks our industry is this massive industry, but if you think about it, we kind of know of each other just from our groups that intertwine with each other, because, you know, like attracts like, and whether you're passionate for it and you have that drive to come to become that better of a mechanic, that better of a pilot, that better, even salesman, like it's, you want to support that industry, you go in, you know, full bore in, there's no dipping your toe in, you're all in. And it's like, and I think John's heard me say this a couple of times, there's only really one way out of the helicopter industry. You can't quit it. It's in you. It's like, you know, it's like the mafia. There's only one way out. So,
yeah, no, Halsey, you brought up the idea of the resource that becomes available with the podcast. And I think that's really important, because I think, you know, like we alluded to earlier, everyone's kind of infatuated with the helicopter. You see a helicopter go by and you're like, oh, that thing is cool. And nobody's like, you know, it's not painfully obvious how you get involved in the helicopter industry. If you're mechanically inclined and you work on cars, well, maybe the next step for you now is to figure out how to work on helicopters. How do you do that? So the conversations that we're going to have that kind of highlight the paths that were taken by these folks to get from point A to point B, and then also to inspire the folks that are there who maybe are an AMP in the United States and they want to become an IA, or they want to, you know, grow their career in a way they hadn't considered before. But they hear someone come on the podcast and talk about how they did it and how it worked, and they're like, oh, I could do that same thing, you know? So I'm excited to see that level of inspiration.
We're going to have some guests internationally as well too. I know we're lining them up as well too. So whether if you become an AMP, AME technician, you know, you can write your own ticket in any corner of the world. So you can go to different countries and kind of bring your certification over with you. That's a valued asset. That's something that you're going to have for you for the rest of your life. So that's, you know, trying to, if anybody young is considering this, there, like I said, you can go to Malaysia, you can go to Australia, you can go to Singapore, you can go, you know, into any parts of Europe, you can go any part of North America you want, and you can, you know, you can really manage your career to a very successful one. So that's the beautiful thing about MRO.
And you look at the career that it provides in terms of education, there's an endless level of education that's required for you to be successful industry. And I think that challenge is rewarding by itself. And then you look at the compensation side, the mechanics are compensated very well, you know, and you look at that compared to most people with a 4-year college degree, you know, they're killing it, you know? So it's looking at that and just comparing these different career paths, it will be really interesting. So I'm excited to see where this goes as we kind of close out and start working towards releasing the podcast. Again, going back to what some of your hopes are for the episodes, anything that we haven't touched on that you'd kind of like your future audience to know?
I think, like I said, at the end of the show, I'm going to be open to a lot more questions, and that's in, like, I love more questions, because then for myself, feeding knowledgeable side of my world there. That's that kind of always, I always want more questions to be asked. The dumbest question is the one that isn't asked. So if we walk away at the end of the show and somebody has questions on it, I open that to the questions that, and, you know, to educate anybody that's either, you know, step one or step 1000 in their career is kind of the next close second here. And entertaining, like, you know what I mean? Like, we have some great characters in industry, guys. You know, you guys, I know you're all pilots here, and well, Quinny, you jump out of perfectly moving helicopters. It's
there you go.
So it's, yeah. But you know what? We have some really cool, quirky guests that can kind of shine a different light on what we thought was a regular job. And, you know, like, you know, slinging engines or slinging transmissions on in the middle of a desert or something like that. How'd you do it? Right. So it's that kind of stuff we can kind of walk away with at the end of going, holy shit, that was awesome. So that's, you know, that's my goal for this podcast, is to absolutely educate, entertain, and inform. And actually, like I said, ask the million questions that are come along the way with it.
Love it. That's cool.
Val, I think that it would be awesome. You know, John, he's got the drink of the day. You know, I started out with that. I like to ask at the end of it, like, what's a piece of advice you could have? Halsey, what do you do on yours? Did you do anything like that? You have something. I know you do.
I don't actually have a consistent lead in or lead out. I kind of, so yeah, don't ask me that question.
Okay, I won't. But all right, Val, here's what I want to know. This is really getting me for you and me right now is that.
All right, brother, let's go. Let's go bring it.
I want the question. The question's going to be, what is the stupidest thing a pilot's written up? Right? That's all I want to know. And then it'll be
right up of the day. Right up of the day.
Oh, the write up of the day. This is going to be awesome because it'll be like, it'll be something like, helicopter was acting funny. My response, I told the helicopter to start being serious.
Yeah. Yeah. You drank too much the night before. Keep your foot off the pedals. I don't know. It's just.
That's what I want to know. So we can pick on our pilots just a little bit, right?
Oh yeah, just a little bit. If we get a cross pilot AME, absolutely, absolutely. That's awesome.
That's really smart. That's awesome. I like that.
Yep, that's great.
Yeah,
Halsey, any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I'm just excited that the platform is expanding, and you know, I think that all of our podcasts support each other, and we all bring something different and unique to this platform. And so to be able to add now this aspect, I think, is just helping us be more well-rounded and not for the purpose of notoriety or gaining anything within this industry. But I think really the whole goal of Helicast, again, is to provide access, a jumping off point for a lot of people to discover this amazing industry that we're all collectively a part of. And so to be on a platform that is pushing that, I think, is super awesome. I think, Val, you have the right voice, you got the right attitude, you have the right excitement level. So I think that you're just going to complement this already very strong platform into something really cool. So we're happy to have you.
Thank you, brother.
Continue to ask questions and you know, let's just continue to collaborate and work together on having some really cool content for our listeners.
I'm going to keep my energy levels up as Quinny.
Good luck.
Good luck.
He sets the bench. I can only just chase it, brother. I'm right there with you.
It's like 3 o'clock here and it's 1 a.m. for him. I'm like dying of tiredness right now.
Yeah.
On that note, Val, thank you for your positivity, your passion for the industry, and for what you're doing for this particular segment of the helicopter industry and the MRO world. Look forward to seeing where this goes. Quinny, Halsey, thank you for joining us. And until next time, we'll catch you later.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Hey, podcast listeners. My name is Halsey Schreider, and I'm the principal broker and owner of Cellocopter. Cellocopter is a new age, data-driven, helicopter-specific sales brokerage, bringing helicopter listings to new heights. At Cellocopter, we utilize digital positioning, paid advertising, and our large network of industry professionals to move your helicopter quickly and efficiently. Unsure the value of your helicopter? Lucky for you, Cellocopter offers a complimentary market evaluation. All you have to do is contact the team today. Are you ready to take your helicopter listing from mayday to payday? Easy. Fill out the contact information below and a Cellocopter pilot agent will reach out shortly. Cellocopter. List it, sell it, done.